Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
Welcome back inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema on a Thursday. And Trevor, we usually record really early in the morning, and typically the podcast is already up at this point. We had a couple things going on in the schedule today. We had to push back a little bit, so the podcast will be out in the afternoon for people over on the East Coast anyway. Still in time for the morning for a lot of people on the West Coast, but advantage... I've already got my morning pumping, my morning lifting. Typically, typically I'm not pumped up when we record, but it's a different ball game today.
Yeah, you're already amped up. You got the pre-workout flowing.
I don't take pre-workout, but if I did, I can't even imagine what this show would sound like.
Be a lot more.
We got a ton. We got a bunch of defensive tackles, interior defensive linemen that we got to roll through today because there were so many names. And I feel bad we didn't even get to we probably won't get to everybody at any position, but this position especially, you know, guys always creep up, you know, that weren't on the radar and stuff like that. So I think there'll still be guys like that we're going to have to keep open to kind of as the season goes on. But Ohio State's got like four guys that could be in a conversation this year. Now, I don't think that they're two redshirt sophomores, even though I think they're both talented. We'll see what kind of a leap they make this year. But Draymond Jones and Robert Landers, both redshirt sophomores, both may start this year over their redshirt seniors, Michael Hill and Tracy Sprinkle. But I'm not sure whether they will be ready to technically, mentally, will they be on that level where they want to come out after their redshirt sophomore years? I mean, typically, you're talking about a monster year for an interior D lineman guy. It's going to have, I think, at that point. And but, man, I've watched all three of those guys, and then Sprinkle was hurt last year, the first game of the year, and was lost for the season, and Draymond Jones took his place. He was the three technique. Michael Hill was the nose tackle, and Landers rotated in typically as a nose, sometimes at three, but typically as a nose, I think, vastly undersized. All three of them are small for interior play. Hill's the biggest, but I think Draymond Jones and Robert Landers may be the best of the three in terms of talent.
I watched Jones a little bit. I know we kind of split it up to get as many guys as we could for the pod, but I did watch Jones a little bit, and I liked him. I thought he was explosive at times.
Right.
What is he listed at? What's his size?
I think he's at 295, I want to say.
Okay. Yeah, so I think they had Hill doing a lot of the nose tackle stuff,
yes.
But they rotate their defensive linemen to really play both of those positions, but I don't really think Jones is a nose tackle in the NFL, so...
No. I don't think any of these dudes are nose tackles.
Yeah, it's kind of a – they got a makeshift defensive line, though. Like because there's so many good players in Ohio State, so it's just like they kind of throw them in wherever. And honestly, at the college level, if you're good, if you're an elite – if you're a good athlete and you have that kind of size, you can kind of dominate whoever you want most of the time.
A lot of the time, yes.
But I did like him. I thought that he had some good quickness off the snap, and that's always something that really pops out at me with interior defensive linemen. If you can do that, you got a chance to have a lot of production. I think was he the one that I think I was watching where he had quite a bit of pass rush moves, did he not? I mean, he could do a swim. He could rip off. I saw a couple times he'd get beat at an angle, like to the left or right. The running back's going the other way, and he would spin around and be able to – at least, you know, make contact or get in front of him.
I would say that he has lots of potential. There's nothing consistent, but you see like little flashes of different moves and ideas as a pass rusher, but it clearly hadn't put it all together yet. But who can, I mean, he was a redshirt freshman last year. So
sure.
I mean,
right.
First year of action. And Robert Landers was too. And here's what's interesting about Draymond Jones. He's listed on NFL Draft Scout 6'2", 280, which I think could be very, very indicative of what he actually is. But as a redshirt sophomore, I don't know how accurate their weights are for these guys because they probably haven't been to a lot of the stuff that you get weighed in and think at that point. And Robert Landers is 6'2", 290, which makes sense because he's definitely not a big dude. And he was playing nose this past year for them. And so Ohio State, all three of these guys, they're all overmatched size-wise. Like, they all get pushed around at the point of – they're, like, the opposite. You know how we talked about the last couple of days, guys like Nadi and who else did we talk? Vea and guys who mm-hmm. – you're not going to see those guys get pushed around very much. Like,
those
guys are going to dominate their gap. You know, play the run sound. Dude, Ohio State has to be super creative with these three because they're athletic. They've got some twitch. Lander's first step is crazy. He's really explosive. But they've either got to shoot gaps – or you're moving gaps constantly because these guys are not just going to sit in their gap and hold the point of attack. That's just not what they do. And Ohio State did a good job of not asking them to do that kind of stuff because they're not particularly gifted at it and using their strengths to their advantage. Sometimes you get caught, somebody catches you on your edge, and I think I saw all three of these guys get pancaked at certain points. They probably all need more sand in their pants. Hill is listed at 305.
Sand in their pants.
They probably need
it. Is that like a common?
Yeah, that's like an expression. You never heard that. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's a
trench
expression.
You're more of a trench guy than I am, so you probably know a lot of
that's true. Yeah, I say that to my offensive lineman here at the high school I coach at, and you guys need more sand in your pants. But I think that Landers has really great potential. I think Jones has really good potential. You could see their movement skills. These guys have range. But technically, mental processing, honestly, I thought those two were further ahead. Michael Hill really disappointed me. Indiana just straight up beat the crap out of Michael Hill. I mean, they put him on the ground all game long. He must have been on the ground 8 or 9 times, and they're playing a rotation, so he's not even out there the whole time, and he was getting put down a lot. I think he's a good athlete, 305. I think he was like 6'2 or so. He doesn't have a great set of pass rush moves, but again, he can move, so he's going to challenge guys who are poor athletes on the inside. In the NFL, you're going to have a lot more. I think he's going to be a liability against the run unless he develops more, and especially mentally. Like, he's got to develop his hands, and mentally he's got to recognize blocks. He's got to read his keys. A lot of time he's just ignoring his keys, and again, that's their defense kind of in a way, just shoot gaps and attack upfield, but I don't think he's explosive enough to play that way. He's going to have to get better at the point of attack. To me, he looks like a guy who's going to be a day three. He might test well and tempt a team, but he looked like a day three type of guy to me. I mean, you like Draymond Jones probably about like I did, whereas there's potential down the road, but we may be talking about him a little bit too early, right?
Yeah, I might like him a little bit more than you do.
If he has a monster year too, I could be all on board of him coming out, you know?
I just saw, you know, like obviously, like you said, last year he was really young as a starter and a contributor last year. And I saw, you know, maybe he does, but this is kind of an experience thing again. So you look at his youth with it and playing so young. I saw at times he would probably be like a half second late to go, oh yeah, I should use this move here. And I'd watch him do, you know, like a swim move or be able to rip off a block, or like I said, do a little spin move and get back into the action. But yeah, I think maybe just he was a little too late with it initially. Like if he knew exactly what he was doing before he got into it, or how to counter it quicker, we could see a lot more production from him. And so I wasn't able to watch the other two guys yet. I'll watch them before we do our rankings of interior defensive linemen. Yeah. But just him especially, I thought, has a chance. And even, you know, watching the film, obviously when you watch defensive line film, in your peripheral, you watch the other guys too. You know, you'll see who collapses the pocket quickest, who holds the point of attack, all that kinds of stuff. And Jones kind of stood out to me in that regard anyways. So I think I'd be highest on him, though I have to look at the other microscope. But yeah, I did like what I saw from him. And he is young. I mean, redshirt sophomore, redshirt freshman doing stuff is a big deal. And that's another guy that I looked at, Trent Thompson from Georgia. And he was former 5-star recruit, I believe the number one recruit in the nation when he committed to Georgia. Played in 8 games as a true freshman and played heavily on that defensive line. Was one of the key interior defensive linemen that they had. Played a lot of 3 technique. He's kind of big for a 3 technique, I think. But, man, some people are – and there's preference with interior defensive linemen, I think. You could either have your eye get caught with guys who explode off the snap, very quick, short, quick, explosive movements, and then you'll be like, whoa, that's a good interior defensive lineman. Or you can see a guy who uses more like longer strides, uses his length better. That's another style where people could go, oh, that's good, you know, gets his arm out, he's constantly pushing with his legs, covers a lot of ground, all that kinds of stuff. So you don't always see it it's really rare if you could get both of those guys or both of those times players in one guy. And Trent Thompson, I think, is more of the longer, take up more room, more rangy player. Not that he's not explosive, but we'll get to a guy that I'm about to talk about later in the podcast, and Dalen Mack, where when you watch these two side by side, they're different styles of interior defensive linemen. Good at what they do, but very different styles. So it was kind of interesting to watch. But Thompson's had good production for his 2 years that he's been there. He had this weird, like, medical thing that happened with him this year where it was like his heart rate got accelerated, and then it was like it was reported that he might have taken like oxycodone, and then it was like, oh no, he just like took a different painkiller, and then all of a sudden he like pulled out of Georgia temporarily and was focusing all his time to like fix whatever issue this was. So he ended up, I'm pretty sure he ended up not getting like charged or arrested or anything, like no further investigation, like criminally for like a drug charge or something like that. But
he withdrew from school, I believe.
He did
for the spring semester.
Everything I've read since then has said like, no, he's coming back. He's playing this year. He's already like working out with the team, so like he's gonna be back for his junior year. But that was a really weird thing that happened with him when I was doing some background and information. But this will be his third year starting as, I think, he'll be either 20 or 21 at the oldest. And boy, if you got 3 years under your belt as a defensive tackle and you're only 21 years old, that's pretty special. And he's certainly got a lot of size and explosiveness in his body, but he is more of that rangy kind of explosive than he is like that short area quickness kind of a thing, like a snap jumper that we'll talk about with Mac. I think that Thompson's a little bit more of just a beat you at the point of attack kind of a guy.
Yeah, he is. He was dealing with a shoulder injury, I think, that was significant enough that I think that Royal World at least reported that he lost 30 pounds while he was dealing with the shoulder injury. So
I did see that. So that was odd too.
Yeah, weird stuff. But I haven't watched him at all. So I'm glad you watched him because that was a name that should have been on our radar and that definitely wanted to talk about as well. So yeah, I'm glad you watched him because he's going to be an interesting guy definitely to watch this season. I watched, are you ready for this? Fulorunzo Fatasuki. I don't know if I'm saying that right or not, but the UConn defensive tackle, what should we call him? FF? FF.
Sure.
FF.
anything that helps you out, I guess.
Recruit. Yeah, that helps, barely helps me out. Two-star recruit and doesn't really have a lot of athleticism. Is not going to be a rangy guy, not going to really make a ton of plays sideline to sideline or anything like that. But I think that he's very good at the point of attack, even though his pad level isn't always what you want it to be. Again, there's just not a lot of flexibility in that lower half, I don't think. So I don't think his pad level is always where you want it to be, and as a result, he can lose some of that upfield burst that he initially gets when he gets under a guy's pads. But I think he's a pretty good mental processor. I think he's pretty decent at the point of attack. I actually think his best spot maybe as a 5 technique and a 3-4 front because of that pad level. Sometimes on the inside, you got those shorter guys that are able to have a little more leverage and kind of get some more movement on you. He is a really powerful dude, and he has really long arms. I think if he learns to use that arm extension a little bit better, he can really set a nice point of attack out on the edge. But again, you're talking about a guy with limited range. He's probably never going to be a full-time player in the NFL, I don't think. He's put up decent production. He actually has decent ability as a pass rusher, despite his athletic limitations. Like, he'll combine, like, rip moves, and he'll throw a long-arm technique in there. So he'll do some different things, which I really liked. He looks like one of those early day three, mid-day three type of picks that can maybe make a roster as one of those, you know, late rotational guys that everybody needs on their team that has a decently well-rounded skill set but has some enough flaws that you would never prefer him to be a starter, probably is how I see him right now. But again, I've only watched like 3 games and need to watch a little bit more of him probably, but right now that's probably where I'd be with him on him, is seeing him in that light. He had a better year 2 years ago, I think, statistically than he did last year, so I have to get to some 2015 tape, see if something changed with him. But in the AAC there were some games where he tossed some dudes around when they got in his way. So I kind of like FF. I'm interested. I like him as a college player, I think, more than I think we'll end up liking his NFL projection, because I'm just not sure he's the kind of athlete, you know, that you need to have for the NFL, especially in one of those high value spots. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a guy that could very well be the athlete that he needs to be in the NFL. Dalen Mack, did you watch any
this
of him?
This is your
my
dude.
Boy.
This is your
my
dude.
Boy.
I've seen some of him live before. I've seen some of him while watching other people, but haven't really focused on him. But I know you've been waiting to talk about him.
So he is another five-star guy, contributed as a true freshman, had a sophomore year last year. Obviously, he's a true junior coming into this year. Big dude who is – moves incredibly well for a player that's playing on the interior line. I mean, I remember one play they ran a screen, and Mack is a bit of a snap jumper. So when the offensive line moved, Mack kind of like whiffed a little bit going upfield because it's like, oh, the offensive line are moving. They're throwing a screen to the outside. Wide receiver gets it, has to make a couple of moves, get around people. He's like 20, 30, 35, I don't know, yards down the field. Dalen Mack catches him from behind and makes a tackle. Jeez. Like he takes off from the trench, gets all the way down there, and I think tackles the wide receiver.
He's like 320.
Or at least gang tackles him. Yeah, and so if anybody who is listening was scouting or was into the NFL draft when Dominic Easley from Florida came into the NFL, was going through his NFL draft process, he reminds me a lot of Easley in the fact that Easley was one of the best defensive lineman I've seen. Now, granted, obviously, I haven't been doing this that long, you know, five, six, 7 years, whatever you want to call it. But the second that ball would move from the center's hand, easily, like, had his hands up and almost into the offensive line. And it was one of my favorite things about him. And it makes, you know, him having the ACL injuries and the deal that he had, it just kind of dampened his NFL career. And it makes me sad, not just because of a Gator, but because he was such a great talent at what he did. But Dalen Mack is kind of this guy that really reminds me of him. And I am a sucker for players that get great jumps off the snap. Yeah. And I know I catch flack from people who say, like, well, he's snap jumping. I mean, he knows the cadence of the off. And I'm like, I don't care.
But if you're good at it.
Right. You know? Like I don't care. This guy's got, you know, I'm watching some of his draft breakdown tape, and then I'll go through a couple of his highlights. And he's got a highlight reel that's like 3 minutes of him basically just jumping snaps for 3 minutes, you know? So it like, if you're that good at it, if you could do it that often, if you could pick up on whatever the quarterback's throwing down and the rhythm that they have, I don't care if you're snap jumping. Yeah. But I also think that he does do a really good job of keeping his lies octave where the ball is. He lines up at the one tech a lot, like right outside the shoulder of the center. And that's really great for him, because I also think that he is good at finding where a soft spot is going to end up being. Like, there's a play, I can't remember what team they were playing. It was Texas A&M, and I think they were playing a cupcake team. But the guard accidentally left about, I don't know, 6 inches of space that he shouldn't have in between him and the center, just from the way that he lined up and he got into his stance. Mack just immediately went through it, like, almost like he was untouched, but both of the guys were kind of like trying to chip him a little bit, and he gets into the backfield.
And you compared him to Easley. Easley was 288, and Mack is 320, and he's doing a lot of the things that you say you saw Easley do. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, no,
so I got to watch him.
Mack is one hell of an athlete. He's definitely not a finished product. I think that he needs to work a little bit more on, like, just disengaging certain blocks, because I do think that he has the strength that's there. I mean, this kid, I think I watched a workout video of him squatting 605 10 times, I think, which is scary to say the least. And I think he's going to be one of the kids that's on that like 40 workout freaks list that's going around that Bruce Feldman does. He does like those 40 freaks in college football. I don't know if you've ever read that.
Yeah, I think he just did it.
Well, I think he did the first part. Oh, I don't know if he did the second part yet, but I think Dalen Mack's going to be in there, so you guys can read about him there. And if he's not, it's kind of a travesty that he wouldn't be in the top 40. But yeah, he's doing easily type things at 40 more pounds. So there's a reason why he was one of the top, if not the top, recruit in the entire country when he was coming through. And he was a five-star kid, and that he's been contributing since his freshman year. So no Myles Garrett, no Deshaun Hall. Like, it's kind of it's kind of all about Dalen Mack this year, and they're ready for him to take the next step in production, because I think that's what's next with him. He had plenty of tackles for loss and nice, like, highlight reel plays, but let's just see it on a better level. Let's see him take another step this year and make sure he's the guy who's finishing plays, even though it's not always what happens with interior defensive linemen. You know, if you blow up a play from the middle, chances are you're not getting the sack or the stat, but it's really yours that it happened. And right. So I'm just excited to watch Mack, because he is a guy who I'm just a sucker for, people who are great off the snap, who have that kind of agility and that explosiveness from an interior defensive lineman spot. And boy, if he can get his hands, like if he could be more violent with his hands and rip off those blocks quicker, so he can almost make it all, like a seamless transition, getting out of his stance and getting by who he needs to get by, he could be dangerous, man.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get to his tape in depth, even though he's a junior. I guess it'd be a little bit strange. I mean, if he came out, it could still happen, though.
Starting as a freshman, though, yeah, that's right. 3 years.
Yeah, if you get that kind of experience and put that kind of product out on tape, then, yeah, I mean, even it. Yeah, I'm going to check him out for sure, because right now I'm focusing so much on seniors for NDT scouting.com that I haven't gotten a lot of the underclassmen in depth yet, but I'm definitely going to have to check him out. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I've used the SeatGeek app before, actually, to buy tickets to concerts, and have found that it's not only incredibly easy to use, but that guarantee that they talk about, that has always come through in the clutch for me as well. So SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, our listeners, Trevor, get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LONFL. That's it, LONFL today. That's promo code LONFL for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Make it happen, folks. Trevor, you want to hear a crazy stat? Of course you do.
Yes, absolutely.
So remember I was talking about Robert Landers from Ohio State?
Yes.
He played in 9 games last year. I don't think they wanted to use him, really, but Sprinkle got hurt, and so they played in 9 games last year. He had 16 total tackles. 8 of those were tackles for loss.
What?
Yes.
What?
I'm telling you, when I tell you this, I don't—
50%?
50% of his tackles were behind the line of scrimmage as a 285-pound nose tackle.
That's—
he had to fight
ridiculous.
Off doubles a lot of the time when he was in there. So I am telling you, he's playing out of position. He's a little bit undersized right now. He needs to bulk up. He can still make advantage. His first step is one of the best that I've seen. And I don't know what his role will be. There probably will be some heavy rotation. I don't know how much he'll play. He played probably the least of these guys last year. I think he only played like 200-some snaps, and he had 8 tackles for loss. That's more than like everybody else we've talked about today.
You saying that reminded me of something, and it reminded me of Tim Williams and why he was why I was so high on him. His 2015 year, like first year he played sporadically, right? Mm-hmm. 18 total tackles, whole year, 18 total tackles. 11 and a half were for loss. 9 and a half were for sacks. The next year, 31 total tackles. So this is supposed to be like, hey, we know about Tim Williams. Let's block him. 31 total tackles. 16 tackles for loss.
Jeez.
More than half.
It's insane. It's insane. Those guys, I mean, when you watch Lander, he's only a 3-star recruit. Like, this is not the guy that they thought, but I just think he's going to be a really good player. I don't know how much his development will take this year. I don't know if he'll be ready for the NFL, but eventually we're going to be talking about Robert Landers, my friend. In a couple years, maybe it's this year.
If he popped out at you already, I'd say so.
And I think we'll talk about Draymond Jones too, but I had to go back and read that stat to you because, you know, for example, Draymond Jones played, he was a starter. He had 51 tackles, which is really good stuff for an interior defensive lineman. Guess how many of those were for loss, though? 4. So it just looks bad compared to his partner in crime over there as a redshirt sophomore. But there's a good chance those two could start this year for Ohio State, and the redshirt senior Sprinkle and Hill could be the backups technically. Although, like I said, there's usually a pretty good rotation. And then Holmes plays inside, the one edge guy, and Bosa plays inside, and Tyquan Lewis played inside some last year. So there's a ton of bodies thrown out there for Ohio State. But yeah, those two are going to be fun to watch, Draymond Jones and Robert Landers. And a lot of development still needed there. But the raw skill sets that you want to see, yes, definitely there. They have really enticing raw skill sets. So we didn't even get to Christian Lacouture for LSU. Justin Jones for NC State. I will have write-ups on both of those guys going up at ndtscouting.com.
I wanted to get to McKenzie, but I just didn't have time.
Yeah, did you watch him?
I didn't know. I didn't have time. I wanted to.
Reggie McKenzie of Tennessee, that's another guy. Yeah, so
I believe his full name is Reginald.
It's Reginald. Oh, he has a cool name.
It's Khalil, isn't it?
Khalil,
Reginald Khalil McKenzie.
Reginald Khalil McKenzie.
So we got Khalil McKenzie coming into this class.
I see what you did there. It's Khalil Mack, and then just mute the mic for NC.
I was just going to say, just mute. Yeah.
Junior, too. I don't know. Did you add
just
that
mute
in
my
there?
Mic entirely.
Yeah.
Just mute my mic entirely.
I do usually. That'd be better for the podcast. I go back in and edit. Reginald Khalil McKenzie Jr. He will have to be covered. He is only a junior, but he'll have to be covered and talked about at some point. Remember, we have what do we have? Friday, we have Fan Friday. We're taking your questions, probably even on interior defensive line guys and everything else in life. Then next week, we're talking linebackers, okay? So off-ball linebackers, we're talking next week. Got some really cool names to throw out there. Not just their names, but the actual players behind the names. And so I'm excited to discuss that position group. Then we got corners, safeties, wrap up July, and then August, man, we're previewing college football season. We're ranking prospects. We got guests. I got guest people that are excited to come back in the show. We haven't had a lot of guests over these 2 months because it's a little bit of the dead season for the NFL draft in some ways. So, but then they're going to start coming out of the woodwork again in August, folks, and we're going to get rolling again on all that stuff. So, as always, man, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Napa
Know-How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How. Napa Know-How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.